So
yes, Mr. Chairman, and by the way, thank you very much. This is the first committee in which I had an opportunity to see the minutes ahead of time. I thought that was very nice because many committees is simply a formality. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for being particularly mindful of that. So I've looked them over, and they seem fine to me. Yes, sir.
So Representative Benson moves the minutes of January 16th.
Thank and you. I move them, yes.
Thank you to...
I was lauding you to the point where I forgot nomenclature. Excuse me.
That's all right. Not a problem. We're going to get the job done. Any revisions, corrections, any comments on the minutes? There being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevailed. All right. We have before us Representative Cornish moves House File 135. Representative Nornes. And this will be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me this opportunity.
Absolutely.
To present House File 135. This this bill was brought to me by a constituent who wants to be able to hunt on his own property with the aid of a laser. And I'll just walk through the bill here quickly, and we can.
Representative Nornes, do you have an amendment to the bill?
I do have an A2 amendment.
All right. Representative Cornish moves the A2 amendment in favor of adopting the amendment to get it in order. Author wants it. Say aye. Question?
Aye.
Yeah, I don't have a copy of
the bill. Of the bill. Stand by 1 second.
I'll file 135.
Okay.
No, I don't see it. I have 66.
No, that's last meeting.
Yep.
It should
fit
today.
Yep, I looked in there. Maybe I missed it. I could have missed it. Found it. Sorry. Apologize.
Representative Hackbutt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I know it's a formality sometimes to just adopt these amendments to get them in the shape the author likes. I think I could probably, you know, support the bill as it progresses through here if it didn't have the amendment on it. I do not support the amendment. So I'll be voting no, because this would require that somebody that's out helping, assisting somebody that's visually impaired hunt, that they would be required to have a license to hunt also. And I do not agree with that. I don't believe we require that in some other areas of where we allow people to assist handicapped hunters to hunt. I don't believe it's a requirement that they also have to have a license. So I would not support the amendment.
Mr. Chair,
Tim Nornes.
I would just point out, apparently, to you, so we're perfectly clear, this this amendment came from the DNR. This is not my amendment. I did offer, or at least agree to at least bring it up for discussion. And
well, probably a good reason not to support it. Where's Bob Meyer when we need him? Anyway, okay, the motion reoccurs on the to adopt the A2 amendment. All in favor say aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion fails. All right, Representative Nornes, to your bill.
Okay. Mr. Chair and members, this bill allows the Commissioner of Natural Resources to issue permits to visually impaired hunters to allow them to use laser sights. The hunter may only use the laser sight when hunting on their own land. And I point out that's the reason for this, primarily because there are other hunting opportunities available through organizations and special events. Land that's also been where he's had permission to hunt, that's also allowed in this bill, or when taking part in a special hunt sponsored by a nonprofit organization and permitted by the Commissioner of Natural Resources. The visual impairment must be verified in writing by a licensed physician, a certified nurse practitioner, or a certified physician's assistant acting under a licensed physician. Also allows the commissioner to request additional information from a physician or optometrist to verify hunter's eligibility. The permit is for up to 5 years, and that depends on the visual impairment, and must be in possession of the hunter while hunting. It allows the commissioner to deny, suspend, or revoke the permit including violations of fish and game laws, which is not that's not a problem. Establishes a misdemeanor penalty for a person who knowingly makes a false application for this permit, or for a physician or optometrist who fraudulently certifies a virtual a visual impairment under this subdivision. So that basically, Mr. Chair, is the bill. Allows a visually impaired hunter to hunt with a friend on his own property by with the aid of a laser sight or a laser.
All right. Questions of the author of the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not a hunter, I'm a fisherman, and so I just want to make sure I understand this.
You can use it for fishing.
I I'm not there yet, but how bad I am at it, maybe I might write that bill. We'll see what happens. At this point, they're safe. Thank you, sir. Can you just walk me through, when you say a laser sight, what that means and what how that operationally affects their ability to hunt, so just so I understand that?
I'll do the best that I can, because this constituent, we've only talked on the phone, and so I, what I, how I understand it, depending on his level of impairment, this laser sight would actually allow this helper of his to sight the target for him, so he can talk him into zeroing in on that target because of that laser sight. That's how I think it would be used most often.
Maybe, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, could you explain what a laser sight is for me?
It's the same, Mr. Chair, it's the same as these pointers you use in conferences. It's just a, you know, it's a beam of light.
Right, so to put a, it literally would just put a dot on the target.
That's right. That's
okay. Right. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure I understood that's what it was. I didn't want to assume anything. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Representative Hackbarth, I think they maybe answered it, but if you'd like to go ahead.
Well, I can give you an explanation of laser sight, too, if you want. But, Mr. Chairman, my question is, and maybe for our counsel, we've got something similar to this in law already. I don't know how this varies from the law we already have that allows visually impaired people to hunt, because a number of years ago I did pass into law the use of lasers for impaired sight, and you know, it allowed people to assist blind hunters to hunt with a laser. So I'm not sure how this varies from current law.
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chairman, members, this varies a little bit. The existing law allows this only under permitted special hunts that are sponsored by a nonprofit. This would expand that to hunting on your own land and on private land, and plus you have to be totally blind per statute in the old one. This one has a visual impairment which has not been defined.
And thank you for that. And Mr. Chairman, that's what I thought this was, and I wanted to make that clear to everyone here that that is the difference. It's pretty simple. So,
all right.
I support the bill.
Thank you, sir. on the totally blind versus now undefined vision, undefined blindness, is that what I'm understanding? Or how would a visual impairment, how are we defining that, or are we just simply not at this point?
Representative Dornish.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that you're going to lay this over, and I think there will be an effort to define, in the interim, there will be a definition of what that is. I think the bill, if I'm not mistaken, no, it doesn't. The amendment would have addressed that, I believe.
Right.
But
I know.
So there will be a definition determined, that, and that'll be done by, not by me. So
great. Representative
Hackbarth. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I did, Representative Norris was good enough to talk with the folks from Capable Partners yesterday, and I visited with Capable Partners folks. They're working on this issue, too, that we want to get it right. And I believe part of that amendment did take care of that issue, but we want to work with Capable Partners and find out exactly what they would like to see. So if we're laying it over, we'll probably have an amendment later when we put together a bill at a later date. But I think we need to have Capable Partners involved in this issue. They're aware of it, and we just want to get it right.
Further discussion on House File 135. There being none, Representative Cornish renews his motion to lay House File 135 over. Again, there was no amendment for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill. And Representative Nornis, I'm not going to ask DNR to come down and talk about this. I'm hoping that you're going to connect with them and capable partners
representing
Jack Barth and make this work.
We certainly will do that. That's correct.
We don't have to vote on the...
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, Rip Tempe. Okay, Rep. Fabian moves House File 169 for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill in the Environment Natural Resources Policy Committee. Representative Fabian, to one of the most famous bills to ever be heard in the Environment Natural Resources or the Game and Fish Committee, for that matter, in the last 10 years.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's almost as famous as the toad implements of husbandry that we did last year. So, you know, the scopes on muzzle loaders is an issue that has been brought to me by a number of my constituents who hunt with muzzle loaders. And, you know, I have to say for the record that I have not purchased a muzzle loader myself. I've shot one time. Yeah, I know that, Representative McNamara. I don't own one. I've shot one time. I've shot the old flintlocks twice 35 years ago or so. So this really doesn't have a whole lot to do with me personally, although I do have some ideas for getting started. Just on a personal note, part of the reason why I have not purchased a muzzle loader in the past few years is because, for the same reason, I've kind of quit pheasant hunting. Due to a detached retina and some surgeries and stuff that I've had on my shooting eye, I wish it would have been my right eye, not my left eye, I haven't been able to see the bead on the end of my shotgun very well. So, and the same thing with the muzzle loader. But I do want to point out that, you know, I do know that, and I realize that there are people that are opposed to this, and I certainly respect that. But this is something that I think is has wide acceptance in the deer hunting community, and it has wide acceptance, from my perspective, in the muzzleloader hunting community. You know, where I live, just a little history in northwest Minnesota, deer hunting is kind of a cultural thing. Oftentimes, you will see that there's a couple of days in the school calendar that are built in to take them off for deer hunting, as I'm sure it is in a lot of other areas in the northern part of the state. So, with that, I'd like to introduce a couple of other people who are here to testify. This is Stuart Benson. He's a retired conservation officer with the DNR. And then Corey Bennett is here with the Deer Hunters Association. And now we'll turn it over to them.
Welcome, gentlemen. Introduce yourself for the record and then go ahead with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Corey Bennett, representing the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. As you brought up, Mr. Chairman, this bill has been around for several years now, a lot longer than I ever thought it would be. But we really appreciate Representative Fabian bringing it forward this year. This bill has actually moved a couple of different times to various stages in the legislative process. I believe it's been the Game and Fish Bill. You've had amendments on the House floor and Senate floor, but for various reasons, it's always come up just a little bit short. And we're trying to make another push this year to see what the temperament of the legislature is and see if it's something that we can finally be successful with. The Deer Hunters Association has supported this ever since its inception and ever since it came into the legislature probably 7 or 8 years ago, and we're here to do that again today, and we will maybe do it next year and the year after that, so we'll just keep at this. But, you know, for our association, you know, I think there's basically three reasons that we bring this up every year and where we support this. One is we really believe that the scopes on muzzleloaders as a magnification of that scope will absolutely give us a better harvested animal. We believe we'll be able to place that shot in a better place and harvest that animal in a more humane and get that animal actually down instead of actually losing that game into the woods. We also have, as Representative Fabian said, we have a lot of older hunters within our association that would like to use scopes on muzzleloaders to patrol on their hunt. They're not seeing as well as they used to be and would absolutely love to do that and love to prolong their hunt during the muzzle loading season, and so for that reason we also support this. And on the other side, we also have a lot of young people in our association that quite frankly would like to use the new technology. It's there. They believe they would like to use it and would like to have that experience, and so we support it on their behalf also. I do have to say, Mr. Chairman, though, that this is one of the things that gets brought up every year in our association, and we have quite a bit of dialogue on it at our annual meeting in Grand Rapids. And we hear from both sides, quite frankly, even within our association. We have some that are for it, but the vast majority want, I mean, some that are for it. But we do have some that do have some concerns and would like to keep the season as is, but overwhelmingly majority of our association members do want to see scopes on muzzleloaders. So we are here to support that today again, Mr. Chairman, and I can stand for any questions the committee have. I also like to this is an issue that's been around for a long time. I've had individual discussions with many of you. Understand on a philosophical level if those who have concerns are in opposition to this kind of proposal, but we think as an association it's time to move it along, and we would like to have the opportunity to use scopes on muzzleloaders into the future. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Brennan. Mr. Stewart.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'll just cover basically the same things as my colleague just covered here. I worked for the state for 32 years, and in that time, of course, scopes had never been legal until there was a law passed a number of years ago to allow non-magnification scopes, which, to be honest, I guess, for not to be rude, but they're virtually worthless, actually take up more of the sight pattern. I've tried them. I do have the visual, much like everybody else. I carry the readers and cheaters. They're in every room of my house, on my tractor. Couldn't hunt last year. Couldn't see the rear sights. I could see the front, but I couldn't see the back one. So I didn't hunt last year with the muzzleloader. Person, my own property, my own farm. But while working, to be very honest with you, this train left the station years ago. You go to the sporting goods stores, you go to the hardware stores, they sell quick detach scopes. One flip for the front, one flip on the back, that scope comes off within 2 seconds. When they see the officer coming or they hear somebody walking in the woods, scope comes off, it's in their pocket. Is it going to impact the amount of deer that are taken? Possibly take a few more deer. The amount that are taken now are just, shortly over 7,000, I think it is, something like that. Really negligible to the overall harvest of the deer in the firearm season. Is it going to make a better harvest of that animal? Absolutely, yes. There's no question in my mind. I would get lots of calls every year. The shot wasn't being able to be well placed. A few days later, they see the ravens, they see the predators going, and yeah, they did find their animal, but unfortunately the animal was unsalvageable at that time. Over the years, I would get a handful of people, single digit, that were totally opposed to it, and they say they want it to be a primitive, traditional type hunt. That went out when the inline muzzleloaders came in. Back of the old cap and lock, as Representative Fabian fired. I've had those as well. They are fun. The old Daniel Boone style. Now they're the sabreted ones. Basically, you have a single shot rifle. But you basically get one shot. Takes the quickest I've seen anybody reload is probably 45 seconds. Not going to happen. The deer's not going to stand around again. So the single digit amount of people that were totally against it, and I asked them, I said, I'd like to know why, and I said, I'm not being rude, but why? And they said they don't want to see more people out in the woods. And again, I said, no, without being rude, I said, it's greed. You don't want to see anybody else out there in the woods, and they all agreed. Yeah, they just don't want to see any more people. If they still want to hunt traditionally, they can still do that. They don't have to use a scope. But younger hunters also need the visual there. The scope is definitely, they grew up with scopes. We didn't, just like they grew up with the computers, cell phones. I'm back in the old, I grew up with a dial type phone and that type of thing. Computers weren't, calculator wasn't invented when I was in high school. That dates me, but it happens. So with scopes, negatively impact the harvest? Absolutely not. Will they make a more sportsmanlike harvest of the animal? Absolutely, most definitely it would. Is there going to be too many people out there? I highly doubt it. If it is, the legislature or the commissioner can restrict the season. Go back to what we used to have if we had to do that. But in my opinion, no. I don't think it would be. Same thing happened back in the 80s. Archery hunters, if people are archery hunters, you weren't allowed to use the handheld releases. That was an evil thing back then, and we ticketed people for it. Finally, it became legal, and what was the impact? Negligible. Nothing. Now it's commonplace. You go to get set up, that's what they sell you. So,
Mr. Benson, I just want to make sure for the tape.
Yes, sir.
You said the bill allows scopes on muzzleloaders during the muzzleloader season, but yet you said in your testimony during the firearm season.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. During the muzzleloader season. During the regular fire, yes, Mr. Chair, during the firearms, you are allowed to use a magnification scope. But during the muzzleloader season, yes, sir, you're only allowed to use a zero power, which, again, most people that put them on wind up taking them back because they find they're extremely ineffective.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. Well, Representative McNamara, Representative Hackbarth, I think that you, the three of us, are the chairs of the committee for a lot of years that have considered this. So for the benefit of Representative, those in the room, Representative Yaruso, Representative Isaacson, Uglum, and Green, I think we should have a short discussion on the history of what has happened in I'll leave off when I was Game and Fish Chair, and let's start with Representative Hackbarth, and then let's fill that in with Representative McNamara, who was the latest Environment Finance Chair, and just kind of fill people in on how we got to here. Why haven't we done this? And I would prefer you not blame my senator. Representative Hackbarth.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as most people around here know, I have been in opposition to this bill for a long time. And I also would like to include Representative Cornish in this discussion because he knows the ballistics of these things, and also where also the history of where this is. Also a former conservation officer. This special muzzleloader season came about when we didn't have the modern technology that we have today for muzzleloaders. The folks came in, the primitive hunters came in and asked for a special season where they could use flintlocks and primitive style rifles to have a primitive style hunt for deer. This is an extra added season for deer hunting in the state of Minnesota. As Representative Dill, as Chairman Dill pointed out, you can use a scope on a muzzleloader. If you prefer to use a muzzleloader and you want to have a scope on your muzzleloader and that's what you prefer to hunt with, you can do that now during regular firearm season. That is absolutely allowed. And as a matter of fact, I think it's even allowed in shotgun zones, if I'm not mistaken. So you can hunt in a rifle zone or you can hunt in a shotgun zone. It's kind of an extra added benefit if you have a muzzleloader. And you can use a scope, and you can hunt just about anywhere with it. So I don't know where the complaint comes in other than the fact that all of a sudden we're going to have this extra season where we've got these modern muzzle loaders. They're just like using a rifle with a scope on it. If we're not going to allow the primitive hunt to take place like it was originally intended, why do we have the special hunt? Why do we have an extra hunt? I don't agree with doing this, and those are the reasons why, Mr. Chairman, and I'd be happy to stand for any other questions that we may have.
That may be coming right from McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I've never had real strong opinions on this, and I have respected Representative Hackbarth and Representative Cornish's feelings in the past, but I will say that I have changed my position and that I intend to support the idea going forward. And truthfully, it's probably the biggest reason I'm looking at it now is what Officer Benson said was the reality today, unfortunately, I think this law has put too many people to be criminals. You talk to people today, the people that muzzleload hunt for the most part are doing it out of tree stands or tripods, whatever, and the idea that they have the quick detach scopes on their muzzleloader, they relatively know that they can remove them, and it's unfortunate. I've never been one to like to legislate to criminals, but I mean, Representative Hackbart makes a good point. This was originally put in for people that really wanted to hunt with the primitive weapons, and that was the deal. Well, the reality today, these things are a single-shot rifle capable of long-range hunting, and I did shoot my first deer this year with the muzzle loader, and I was 60, 70 yards, and I thought, man, this is about the limit of my range. The reality, that was, you know, and it was lucky it was ended up being a good shot and all that. But with a scope, it would have been a cakewalk to shoot it. That's the reality. So this is a tough issue. I mean, I really believe in my heart that if we go this route, we won't have a 16-day muzzleload season. My guess is the DNR will change it to 9, or they'll increase the harvest quota for muzzleloaders because it will be way, way more effective with them. But I don't know. I think this, like they say, this boat's left the harbor before when they came with the inline ones. The reality, it may not be a decision for this body. I don't know, Mr. Chair, if the Senate's going to go along. So Representative Cornish and Representative Hackbart may have allies, even if it gets out of this committee or off this body. And it's just, it's a tough one. It's really a social issue. And boy, a lot of people get wound up. I really like it because it gives those of us that like the deer on a whole nother season, a late season to hunt. And but I think today we probably should move on and let scopes go on them. And I see Officer Rodman Smith had to leave, but at some point, Mr. Chair, I would like to get one of the either he or his supervisor to testify on what they're seeing, because my guess is they are coming upon people in their tree stands or in their tripods, and they're finding in their backpacks quick remove scopes and stuff. And I just, to me, if that's where we're at, let's move on.
All right, Representative Cornish.
Just a few points. First of all, I guess if I run across a hunter with a detachable scope and found him doing it, I would probably call him a sorry excuse for a hunter. Just because he wants or she wants to take more game to do it illegally, would be like doing illegal on any other part of the hunt. And with all the seasons, bow and arrow, rifle, slug, and now they say they have to use a scope for this. I see the arguments, and some of them are valid, you know, why they want it. And so I have no animosity towards anybody pushing for this. But if we could add two amendments. First of all, if we're killing or wounding and inhumanely killing all these deer, what we should do is add an amendment to outlaw all iron sights on all firearms and use only scopes. Otherwise, if we don't, then we're admitting we're killing and wounding deer all over. I don't really believe that at all. And the other thing we should do is nail down the DNR and add an amendment that said that they can't reduce the season if they approve of this. By rule, they can't reduce the number of days, because the wonderful thing about both bow and arrow and the muzzleloader season is, one, you got like 50 days with the bow and arrow, and you've got 16 with the muzzleloader. And the muzzleloaders are highly accurate right now, and one shot, you know, should be all you need. They shoot copper-jacketed bullets at almost the speed of a 30-30 with prepackaged powder you drop in, and pellets. You don't even have to pour it in anymore, and they got copper-jacketed rifle bullets all the way up to 54 caliber. And so I just, you know, I don't know how I would vote on the thing and all if they looked at amendments or anything like that, but I just wish some of the arguments were better. We're saying as deer hunters, the Deer Hunters Association comes up here and says that we're shooting deer illegally, or he did, the other person, and that we're wounding and falling right into the anti-hunter's trap if we say something like that. Stuart and I came on together. He's a good man, and we served a lot of time together up north. Served a lot of time. Sounds like
we've heard about that.
But we just come from a different way. It was ironic because the one that brought this season to us was a game warden. It was Schultz from up in the north of the cities. And he calls me every year and says, don't let him change that thing. He says, we brought it to the, you know, to the legislature. So my feeling is if we're going to argue it for getting more hunters afield, don't say that we're killing and wounding deer and that we've got illegal hunters out there in grand style using scopes when they shouldn't be. Use some other arguments. So thank you.
Okay, Representative Isaacson. Thank you, Mr. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Whoever would like to answer. I'm not sure who I direct this to. All right. I just want to make sure I understand this. So currently, when folks get are deer hunting, and it's a normal, regular deer hunting season, you can use a scope on a muzzleloader.
Correct.
That then they set up a special hunt for primitive hunting that allows a 16-day season. Is that correct? that you can go hunting that's different than the regular season. Am I right?
Correct.
And now we're hearing a bill that's asking us in the 16-day season to also use scopes again.
That's correct. And Representative Isaacson, I remember the debate when it all began to happen, that it was all about, as Representative Hackbar says, primitive firearms. In other words, a flintlock gun, one that you poured powder in front of the hammer, and one that you loaded with a powder horn. But technology jumped ahead in the way it said, muzzle loader, inline. Now they use a 209 cap, right? In front of the hammer. That's the same as the shotgun shell has in the end of it. And there's no more powder pouring in there. And so, you know, technology, and Representative Cornish, over the years, over our 10 years here, we've heard, he said technology creep about 10,000 times in a committee, and that's what we're talking about here.
So, I guess what I don't understand is that the spirit of the hunt, and I'm not a hunter, so I'm just trying to understand this. The spirit of the hunt was to create a primitive, I mean, it's kind of an overall experience, not just, you know, because you're using primitive armaments, right? And so why would we add a technological advantage to something that was designed to be primitive?
That is, Representative Isaacson, the very question that is before us with this bill.
Yeah.
We will answer at some point. You know, actually, I don't think the bill was drafted in such a way originally in the original law that prohibited the first big jump in technology creep, which allowed the design of an inline muzzle loader to be used during a primitive firearm season.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ability was done, and they did it well. And I'll tell you, I mean, you go to Gander Mountain or go to any other place that sells firearms, it's a big seller. I mean, inline muzzle loaders are a big part of business, and so there's a lot of considerations here.
I just would say that there's just no chance I will vote for this. I don't think it makes sense, and it doesn't seem to be germane with the original spirit of that hunting. And I have a family full of hunters, and I think that they would definitely agree with me on that. So thank you.
Okay, Representative Bugle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'd like to make the argument a little bit for the scopes and the inline. I do own an inline Thompson, and I don't use a scope. I don't have one that clips on or clips off. But, really it is. It's a technological advance, and we see this all the time in terms of what's happening in our world. And I think, you know, if you still want to go on a primitive hunt, muzzle loading and stuff, they still sell over at Gander Mountain and at Cabela's the traditional muzzle loaders, and with the Daniel Boone style powder horns and everything else. But the new muzzle loaders, and they're selling, like our chairman says, selling a lot of those things. That's where the market has really moved. The other reason that I favor this too is, you know, deer hunting is, at least for me, more of a social sport, and I certainly enjoy getting together with everybody and going up to the North Woods and hunting. Unfortunately, sometimes I cannot make it for rifle season, and I might have the time later on to do that. So I certainly appreciate the fact that we have a late muzzleloader season, even though it's pretty darn cold in my deer stand sometimes up there during that time. And I think anything that I can do to ensure that I am not going to be wounding a deer, I just don't like that. And if a scope will help, and I know it will, I like that idea. And the other thing is, like Representative Fabian says, I do have visual problems sometimes too. With open sights, I have a little trouble. I had laser surgery a number of years ago, and it's tough lining up those sights sometimes. And a scope would help me as an individual, I know, do a much better job hunting and making sure that I'm not wounding an animal. So the other thing is, too, I know that our friends at all the gun shops and sporting goods stores, this is a bit of an economic lift for many of our people
that are the local hardware stores, are the local gun shops and sporting goods shops, because I think obviously there'd be a lot of people purchasing these things. But, you know, as far as the traditional hunt, there's nothing stopping anybody from doing the profession or the traditional pure primitive type hunt. You still have that option. So I'm kind of with Denny on this thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Urizo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems like, you know, hearing this with fresh ears, and I'm not against hunting, just for the record. You don't know me yet, so I thought that would be relevant. The original intent of the separate season is no longer relevant from everything I'm hearing. And it seems to me that the arguments we're hearing are really providing justification for eliminating the special season, everything I'm hearing about the technological advances. And I'd be really tempted to consider some sort of amendment or separate thing to eliminate the special season and fold it into the regular firearm season and direct the DNR to extend that appropriately to make up for the lost time in the muzzleloader season, and let, you know, if people want to use muzzleloaders and or primitive methods or whatever, that's their choice. But it doesn't seem like we have an ongoing justification for a separate season.
Okay, Representative Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think one of the things I kind of focus on here, particularly after hearing some of the discussion about how there were things in the past on bow and arrow, how that has evolved over time. And I see these things somewhat similar. As I have a daughter who took up bow and arrow a number of years ago, and fortunately some of the innovations have allowed her to become a bow hunter, and she was able to get a 7-point buck a few years ago. Very proud of that. But I kind of see some of these type of things here. Is, you know, we've had technology help in that area, and to me, you know, we seek technology here. We still have a firearm that is, you know, it's kind of like I see as a bow and arrow. It's just one shot, and this is a little different. You're still kind of a primitive hunting, something a little bit different, and that's why I'm kind of open to the fact of doing the scopes on there, particularly when we've got the capability for those of us that are more into the senior population sometimes where the eyesight isn't quite there, where it's helping us assist in those kind of areas. I think it makes sense along those lines. I can understand where it has originally come out of the primitiveness, but we've also had that same thing occur in the bow and arrow. We've allowed that to evolve. It's helped expand the sport. I think that is something that can help engage people, be able to stay in using the muzzle loader for a longer period of time than they would otherwise. So I from that aspect, I'd be open to it.
I'm not going to ask you to come down, Mr. Meyer. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources Policy Government Relations Director. I think you've had a good discussion on both sides of this. I think the one piece of the history you've left out is that there was a year that we also had a prohibition on smokeless powder within these rifles. Right now, you can get a muzzle loader. I think there are several manufacturers that manufacture a muzzle loader where you can use smokeless powder that's used in a cartridge, and also a regular 30 caliber bullet. So in effect, you have a 30-06 velocity rifle with that single shot capability. We would not, if this were to pass, we wouldn't regulate the deer harvest any differently in this season. We're using antlerless tags. Because of the popularity of the muzzleloader season, we are managing that season effectively right now because we have to. The one thing that we don't talk about is the recruitment and retention benefits of this, keeping people in the sport, allowing them to shoot later in their lifetimes with a muzzleloader, bringing new people in, does have some merits, and we talk about that a lot. But with that, we are not supporting this bill. We don't have a position on it, really. It's a social issue, and one that the legislature does need to decide. The population aspects of it, the length of the season, we can manage those things. We would have a concern about expanding the entire deer season through the 16 additional days of the rifle season. That would have impacts on the deer population. this is a cold season. The people, you know, it's not like the beginning of November. It's after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. So it's a lot of work. You know, Mr. Chairman, in your district, there's snow usually and things like that. So, you know, it's one that I was glad for the discussion today, and the legislature has gone back and forth on, but we feel at this point in time, the biological side of it, there's no reason not to do it biologically. It's more social.
And Mr. Meyer made a good point. Representative McNamara Hackworth and I were able, eventually, after a long time, to get the three pheasant rule put in. And, I mean, not for the guys that are the diehards. I mean, those people are out there when most other hunters aren't out there. And that was a biological, no biological effect as well. And I'm not saying that the committee's going to support her or not support her, but I'm just saying that that kind of makes sense to me. Representative Isaacson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to just amend one thing I said earlier. I would have to say that the argument of recruiting and getting people into the sport as well as allowing folks who might not be able to otherwise do it has some resonance with me. And if there was an amendment based on that, I think whatever would promote the sport would be a really positive thing. I just, I really think that the spirit of it seems like it was intended on something very specific. And to change that, you might as well just get rid of it at that point then, because you're really not doing what you intended to do in the first place, and now we just have a second hunt. And so I feel like, you know, you should, if you want to make some exceptions for folks based on disabilities or unable to perform hunting like they'd normally like to do, I think we should not deny them that. But just in general, having that out there doesn't seem to fit within the spirit of what this law was supposed to do in the first place. So just want to share that. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Representative Cornish.
Just one point. We can use scopes right now on muzzleloaders. You just need a permit. One person said that they would like to if they had vision impaired. The problem is that you can't use any magnification, but you can use a big scope with the crosshairs that helps. My cousin that hunts with me muzzleloading uses a scope because he's got vermicular degeneration, and he hunts with a scope, and it helps him. So there is a process to do it right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this question might be for either you or Representative Cornish or Representative Hackbart. Mr. Meyer mentioned, do we not allow smokeless powder? I mean, the powder, I get a big puff of smoke when I go up, and then what about the jacketed 30 caliber? I'm not aware of that. Is that allowed in today?
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, yes, jacketed or bound ball, maxi ball, which is a long one with stripes on it, pre-lubed, or a copper jacketed is allowed. Copper jacketed, in fact, with the plastic points, you get all sorts of different, but they make like a probably a 375 grain lead ball or equivalent copper jacketed, and I think there's even a nickel jacketed bullet. So yeah, all sorts of modern bullets.
And
they're legal.
And Cornish, the powder?
And the powder, I thought that they can use the regular, like, DuPont smokeless rifle powder right now?
The ban lasted 1 year.
Okay.
So we came back and changed it.
For the record, Mr. Meyer said the ban on smokeless powder lasted 1 year, so that means that we can use smokeless powder. Anything else? Anyone like to testify for or against this bill in the audience?
Mr. Chair, just because everybody else has talked. The one thing that I think that I've listened here is that this is just still a single shot rifle. That's all it is. All it's ever been. And as a group of people, I think sitting down here, we like to come across as the almighty, but we're not. And if someone wants to put a scope on their gun, who are we to tell them they can't? I mean, really. It's not like we're saying go out there with a 10 magazine clip. You still got your single shot rifle. That's all it's ever been. Just because you load it different or have a different sight.
Well, Senator Green, I understand that, but the problem is that the people up there elected you and I to come down here and make that decision, and so the who are we doesn't really. Once we took that oath of office, that's when we had to say yes or no. So. I appreciate that, though. I like the idea of personal freedom. Anyway, anyone else? There being none, Representative Fabian moves to... Representative Fabian, did you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I appreciate the good discussion today. you know, so much of this for me is about recruitment and retainment of hunters. We just need to continue to do as much as we can to get more people into the field. Where you live, where I live, it's a big part of our local economy. You asked people at Doug's Supermarket in Roseau, what's their biggest, second biggest week of the year selling groceries? It's during deer hunting season. This is a big deal. And for me, this is just a natural progression of the technology that's happened in all kinds of applications. Representative Isaacson, come on up to Roseau sometime. I'll take you fishing on the rock piles on Lake of the Woods. And we're not going to fish with any technology. We're going to go out there, no depth finders, okay?
I'll go right now.
Yeah.
Fishing.
We're going to do it in the summertime, and we're going to
get you.
Okay?
Yes.
But my point is that we have changed technology in so many aspects of the sporting field. The rifles, Representative Cornish talked about the 30-30 rifles. You know something, you're right. Today we're using 270 short mags, you know, all kinds of things. This to me seems like just a natural extension of what we've been doing for generation after generation. And the people who still want to do the primitive hunt are going to have the opportunity on literally hundreds of acres to be all by themselves. I spent 35 days in the woods trapping during the muzzleloader hunting season in the Beltrami Island State Forest. And I'm not kidding you one bit, we didn't see two muzzleloader hunters per day at the most. And in the Thief Lake Wildlife Management Area, which is immediately adjacent to my little piece of heaven, we didn't see a single muzzleloader hunter anywhere from Highway 89 to Highway 9. So there's all kinds of space available for them. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Okay, Representative Babian renews his motion to lay the bill over for possible inclusion in a omnibus bill. And with that, meeting is adjourned.